FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. The date is October 3rd, 2016. That means it's the end of the third quarter. We're marching on to the fourth quarter, and it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. And Mickey, this is for September and also for the third quarter. So welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Carrie. Interesting month in the fact that we set all-time highs in all the U.S. markets, major markets. So the Dow set a high on September 6th, as did the S&P 500. Then they kind of mucked about the rest of the month. Dow closed down 0.5% at 18,305. S&P 500 just off its all-time high, closed at 2168, basically unchanged. NASDAQ had a great run over the month, or it's been a really good 2 months for NASDAQ, and up 2%, up to 53.12, almost 10% on the quarter. And a lot of that was driven the third week of the month with Amazon going over $800 for the first time. Finally, very broad rallies in U.S. markets. Russell 2000 closed slightly off its all-time high at 1252 for a percent gain, but almost 9% over the quarter.
Remarkable. Yep. Hey, you'd think the economy with numbers like that would be going like gangbusters as opposed to what it really is doing. And hey, then we look at our other markets here, Canada emerging, and hey, can you say here?
Well, I can say that the Toronto Stock Exchange hit a 52-week high also on the 6th of September. That was a very good day right after Labor Day. The Rent Venture Exchange had another good month, up almost 2%, but it's really stalled at this low 800 range, closed the month at 800 for a 2% gain, 10% over the quarter. That index is up something approaching 47% on the year, but it's really tracking range-bound gold price right now. We'll have more on that in a bit. Emerging market index closed at 903. That's probably close to a year and a half high, up 8% for the quarter, and that's really driven by better data coming out of China, and it's generally, most emerging market countries been doing a little better. The VIX on Friday was at 13, remains very low. And the only response in volatility, this seems to be when the Fed is supposedly coming out with news, but it's mostly driven by rumors and it's much ado about nothing. So markets are very low volatility at this point.
Yeah, are they getting ready for something? Well, we'll see, because normally that's some kind of indicator, right, when they hit really low volatility?
Well, yes, it is. I think we're in this election season, and markets are not going to react one way or the other till early next month, would be my opinion.
Yeah, well, hey, let's see. You never know. I mean, WikiLeaks due for a big announcement tomorrow, but...
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'll have to be on my pins and needles for that one. Who knows what Assange is going to pull off next, right?
Yeah, 3 a.m. On Tuesday is when it's due. But hey, we'll see what happens. At this point, who knows? But we go on to our money indexes here. Dollar, you know. What can you say about the dollar?
Well, the currencies were very range-bound over the month. The dollar closed at 95.5. It was within a half a point of that all month. Of course, the euro did about the same at $1.12. So the currencies have been really quite boring since perhaps the 1st of May, something like that. Not a lot of movement. 10-year treasury remains low at 1.60%. And as I've alluded to before, this is a much ado about nada Fed, you know, we keep getting rumors, but it's my contention we won't see a rate rise until February after we have a new president inaugurated. And meanwhile, Bitcoin was up 6% after being down 13% last month. Who knows? It's not really money. So, you know, gold's the only money.
Yeah, well, it's a currency, so that's what we can call it. Hey, just to draw your attention, when we started doing this series of reviews here, monthly reviews, back in December of 11, the dollar was at 80.18, and we've seen it go as high as 100. We're talking monthly closing figures here. So it closed at 95.50, so it's still up close to 20% from its bottom over the course of pretty much close to 5 years here, Mickey. I mean, everyone had written it off for dead way back when, if you remember.
Yeah, well, they did, but, you know, it's the best fiat currency of any out there, and and the world's realized that, and they started realizing that in, what was it, mid-2014 when it really started that big run-up from 80 or so, and it hasn't looked back. I'm looking at our charts, and on June 30th of 2014, it was 79.78. So that rise is basically, it was really completed by a little less than a year. Actually, I'm looking at the numbers here. The rise to 95 was completed in a half a year, by the end of January of 2015. And it really has not looked back. It's been in this kind of range-bound regime from 93 to 100 and settled in nicely in the 95 range since the end of March.
Interesting. So we look at that and, you know, these movements happen pretty quickly, but it stayed strong for quite a while. So in the future, I don't know, can we draw any conclusions there? And then the relationship to metals, of course, we should look at that. So,
well, we can always draw conclusions with relationship to gold because it is real money. U.S. dollar is just the best fiat currency we have in the world. Gold has become range bound. I mean, it's been up something like 30% this year. Started the year it reaches low in mid December at 1046. It's been as high as 1370 or so. It's become increasingly range bound now for the better part of 4 months, between 1309 and 1349 this month, closed at 1316 for a 0.5% gain. Silver, meanwhile, keeps trying to catch up, but it keeps failing at this plus or minus $20 level. Closed the month at 1915 for a gain of 2.5%. But there's very strong resistance to silver at $20, no matter what the silver bugs will say this week or next or next year or in a decade. Meanwhile, platinum was volatile but flat over the third quarter. Closed at 1025 for a gain of 0.5%. Palladium has been the big performer since the end of the last quarter, up 20% for the quarter, closed at 720 for a monthly gain of 7%. And meanwhile, copper has been range bound since early spring at $2.15 plus or minus 10 cents. Close the month at 220 for a nice gain of 5% over the month. But there's some supply-demand fundamentals that have come in to rebalance, and there's actually a slight deficit for copper. So I'm pretty bullish on copper over the short term, or at least till the end of the year here. We've had a rebalancing. Most base metals have had very good years, and copper is the one that hasn't. So that's pretty unusual. I think we'll see copper catch up in the next few months.
Yeah, could well be. It's looks like it's showing some strength there. And then we go to energy, where there was definitely some strength this month.
WTI was range bound, did have a very good month at 47.83 as the close for a 7% gain, but down 4% of the quarter. But it was increasingly range bound over the month between $43 and $48. And it would go up and down with volatility as per the rumors of what OPEC was going to do in their Algiers meeting. And of course, they did. Again, very little. They talked about some production cuts of maybe plus or minus a half a million barrels a day, but that's a soft production goal, and it will not be resolved until November. And interestingly enough, Libya, Syria, and Nigeria are immune to these cuts, as is Iran. So it doesn't really say much. Doesn't really amount to much. Brent was up almost 5% over the month, closed a little bit above $49. Meanwhile, Henry Hub had a nice month, up 5%. Pretty good quarter, up 3.5% to close at $296. And that's really just driven by lower inventories as we come out of the air conditioning season and with the winter heating season looming.
Yeah, well, you got to wonder, are we going to look for a cold winter that'll push those prices up this year, or is it just going to kind of stumble along?
Well, ask your weatherman.
He doesn't know anything.
Chances are he'll get it wrong. 50% flip of the coin, he will be right or wrong. So yeah. It's about as predictable as the farmer's almanac, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, he uses science, though, and high technology to still come up with the wrong answer. So you got to wonder.
Well, there's too many variables and inputs into the weather. So
obviously, yeah. So finally, uranium, not a pretty sight this month, was it?
Well, it's not been a pretty sight all year. Geez, I don't know how much it's down. I'm adding the numbers up. It looks to me like it's down something on the order of 48% maybe this year. Another 11-year low hit on Friday. It finally broke through that resistance of $25, that downside resistance, about mid-month, and it has gone nowhere but south since then. I mean, it's capitulated. The price dropped another 75 cents on the spot on Friday to close at $22.25, down 12% over the month, down over 16% over the quarter. And it started the year at well above $34. So this has been disaster for uranium miners and producers. And lo and behold, what am I doing? I'm trying to complete a uranium acquisition deal today. So contrarian move, buy at bottom prices.
Well, hey, every dog has its day, and eventually so will uranium. It's a question of how long can it stay there?
Well, and that is the big question, but it certainly is going to be in the yearly range before it's going to be a favored commodity again.
But eventually, it's going to be a favorite commodity, let's face it. It's not like the world isn't building more reactors here.
China, about 60 being built right now.
Absolutely. Even the U.S., even the good old U.S. of A. is building them.
So, absolutely.
Right? We know something is up and something's going to happen. So be prepared. Hey, so then finally, we get to our ratios, which always tell an interesting tale.
Well, the ratios were, as you say, interesting. And really, the gold-silver ratio at 69, we've seen that level now since the beginning of the third quarter in June, or in July, pardon me. The platinum to gold ratio at 0.78 is getting in that rarefied territory again. We've talked before about the all-time low of 0.75, and with the continued weakness in platinum and the continued strength in palladium, a very strong buy signal for platinum. Platinum-palladium ratio at 1.42. We have not seen levels since at this low for a year and a half, more or less. And so this is very unusual. And until platinum starts to rise, I would be buying platinum if I was buying any precious metals.
Yeah. Well, we've said that for a while, and eventually it's going to go past gold, but it's been below gold now for quite a while here.
Really. Yeah, since the beginning of, since the end of 2014.
Yeah, I mean, that's some kind of record. And
well, it can go into these relatively long periods where the ratios are skewed. We just know that eventually those ratios will come back around. But if you're going to go out and buy a coin or two today or tomorrow or within the next month, I suggest you should buy platinum and not gold.
Yeah, well, surely it's a better value play. Then we look at our energy ratios here, and the Brent is starting to go for more than the WTI yet again.
Well, Brent always goes for more than WTI. If you look at our ratios, it has been above one all but 2 months of when we started to track that. So there's always some arbitrage. That arbitrage at 1.03 is really on the low side for the last 5 or 6 years. Despite oil's somewhat wild ride over the month with going between $43 and $48, I mean, it would do this on a day or two basis. The ratios remain fairly constant over the month.
Yeah. So what do you think's ahead here, Mickey? What are we looking at ahead?
Well, we have an election coming up. By the next time we talk, we will be right at the election. It becomes more and more discombobulated by the day. The thing that is encouraging to me is my favorite candidate, Libertarian Gary Johnson, is now polling at 31% in the state of New Mexico. He's made some significant moves in some of the more libertarian states, a lot of those concentrated in the West and, of course, New Hampshire. But he will be a disruptive force in the election, and I would hope that this is the beginning of the end of the duopoly of a two-party system in the United States.
From your mouth to God's ears, Mickey, when I was at Freedom Fest in Vegas, they've got a really knowledgeable, smart guy. I can't remember his name. I interviewed him. Actually running the party now, the Libertarian Party. It's actually becoming a party as opposed to an agglomeration of misfits and miscreants, if you will.
And are you calling me one of those, Kerry?
And myself as well. Well, we don't fit into the mold.
Okay,
for,
I guess,
you know,
misfit.
As far as
I would rather be called a misfit than a miscreant, I think.
Well, as far as the establishment's concerned here,
true.
That's what we are. As Absolutely. Far as we're concerned, they're the miscreants and misfits that have been destroying everything. Let's face the facts here. But, you know, the whole thing of libertarianism ever fitting into the mainstream just hasn't been there to this point. But perhaps there's hope. We can only pray that there is, because the way things are going now, not so much. So in any event, we will pick up where we've left off here next month, and getting closer to the election. Well, maybe there will be some surprises next month, Mickey. You never know.
Never know, Kerry. We all own gold, and we all own some guns and some gas and some goods.
So and some food.
I think we are prepared for whatever may come here. So thanks for your time, Kerry. I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, and find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com, and just give us your Twitter feed and the radio site.
Yeah, at Mercenary Geo. We're almost at 55,000 Twitter followers, and mercenarygeologist.fm is the 24/7 streaming audio station.
All right. And financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Just visit us there, which you already are. And we will talk to you again soon. Be well, Mickey.
Thanks a lot. Look forward to it, Kerry.